Today, I talk about how to enforce management policies in a data center with limited resources. Managing data centers network involves different kinds of policies, and these policies are applied using rules. For example, to limit the communication between two tenants, we use an access control policy. Rate limiting, traffic measurement, and traffic engineering are other examples for a policy. A rule is an action on a set of ranges on flow fields. A few examples for the actions are to deny a packet, accept it to forward normally, or enqueue it for QoS enforcement. Flow fields examples are source and destination IP protocol or source and destination port. To give an example, R1 is an accept rule on source and destination IP fields. In this presentation, I show rules in a two-dimensional flow space using rectangles. Here, R1 is defined using the blue rectangle parallel to the axis. If the rules overlap with each other, only the rule with the highest priority will take effect. So I show the rule with the highest priority in front of the others. Here, R2 has deny action and has lower priority. Note that real-world rules are more complex and have more dimensions. In the current practice, data center operators save rules on predefined fixed machines. For example, they save rules only on hypervisors at servers or just the internal switches. But machines have limited resources, and as a result, they can only support a limited number of rules. For example, the rule capacity of the switches and network interface cards is limited by the power-hungry TCAM memory. Software switches also use CPU. CPU is a valuable resource that can be used by end users and make money, so the operators may set a CPU budget for the software switches. A lot of research has proposed mechanisms that will result in many rules in future data centers. One body of work used VLANs per servers, for example, for traffic management. Imagine a data center with 100K servers. These policies will need millions of rules in that data center. In that data center, we can easily have 100 million flows, and if we want per flow decision, for example, for traffic engineering, the number of rules will be huge. There are also some policies that define rules for every communicating VM pair, for example, for access control or bandwidth allocation. For these policies, also, the number of rules can be huge. Note that in a single data center, multiple policies can concurrently running. For example, we can compose multiple policies using a proposal we have seen in the morning. So it is not always possible to save the rules on the ideal place, and we need to offload them. In this work, we use the fact that rule location creates a trade-off between the resource usage and bandwidth usage in the data center. For example, whenever a hypervisor is overloaded, we can move the rule to the top of rack switch. As a result, we need to forward traffic there, and we may have traffic overhead if the rule is denied. In another example, if the top of rack switch is full, we may decide to offload rules to other servers or switches. For example, here we offload an accept rule to a server, and the server is out of the shortest path of the flows, so we have traffic overhead. But this rule offloading scheme must handle several challenges, and I show the challenges using a concrete example. Consider the two-dimensional flow space with seven rules. Here, blue rules accept the traffic, red rules deny, and the green rule is just the default rule. We have six servers connected using five switches, and we define eight VMs with their associated IP addresses and assign them to the servers. Now, to handle the traffic from VM2 and VM6 on server S1, we need to save these rules in the network. Source placement approach that saves rules on the source of traffic, say S1 here, has minimum traffic because it blocks unnecessary traffic before entering the network. But if the source is infeasible, we may decide to offload some rules. For example, we decided to offload just a rule R4 on Tor 1 and save others on the server S1. But rules overlap with each other, and the dependencies between the overlapping rules can result in incorrect rule processing. Here, for example, S1 blocks the traffic matching rules R1 and R3 that should have been accepted by the rule R4. So the offloading scheme must preserve the semantics of overlapping rules. It must also respect the memory and CPU resource constraints among devices, and these resource constraints can be heterogeneous. The next challenge is how to minimize the traffic overhead caused by the offloading of the rules. The system also should handle the dynamics such as traffic and rule changes, and VM dynamics such as VM migration. In this work, we propose VCRIB, a virtual cloud rule information base. VCRIB provides a rule placement abstraction layer for the operators to define rules without worrying about the rule placement and resource constraints in the network. It gathers the information about network resources and traffic and places the rules both on hypervisors and switches to optimize the traffic given the resource constraints and changes. So VCRIB receives rules and generates a minimum traffic feasible placement. To handle overlapping rules, we propose a novel partitioning scheme. Here, partitions play the role of an independent chunk of rules that can be placed anywhere in the network without changing the semantic of overlapping rules. So a partition is a set of rules. If we cut rules into multiple partitions to have smaller partitions to get more flexibility in minimizing the traffic overhead, we ended up with rule inflation. Instead of cutting, we proposed partitioning with replication, where we keep rules in their original shape in the partitions. For example, here we have three partitions, P1, P2, and P3. Now, if we save two partitions on the same device, we can easily merge the common rules by comparing their IDs. For example, here, if we save partitions P2 and P3 on the same device, we only need to save the rules R0, R1, and R3. We only need to save them once. This introduces the concept of similarity between partitions that allows us to have small partitions by mitigating inflation. Here, the similarity of partitions P2 and P3 is three rules. Now that we can have small partitions with low inflation, we decide to create a partition per source IP. Per source partitions use limited resources at the source of traffic for forwarding the traffic to the current host of the partition. We don't need to replicate them because each partition has traffic only from one server. And in the placement algorithm, we can find similar partitions faster because we have proved that closer partitions in the source IP dimension have more common rules, and as a result, they are more similar. So now that we have partitions, we need to address resource constraints and minimize the traffic overhead. Assigning partitions to the devices to minimize the traffic overhead, even without considering the similarity of partitions, is equal to a generalized assignment problem, which is NP-hard and even hard to approximate. But we have a two-step approach to address that problem. In the first step, we generate a feasible placement using a resource-aware placement algorithm. And in the second step, we refine that feasible placement to minimize the traffic overhead. Finding a feasible solution is similar to bin packing problem, but with objects that can overlap with each other. And to find the best solution, it's important to consider the overlappings of the objects caused by similarity of partitions. We present first fit decreasing similarity algorithm that first puts a random partition on an empty device and then adds the most similar partitions to the initial partition until the device is full. And it does that for all devices to accommodate all partitions in the network. We found the lower bound for the optimal solution for a specific problem on rules and proved that this algorithm is a true approximation of that lower bound. Then we abstracted the concept of similarity for heterogeneous devices using a device-dependent resource usage function. So now we can handle heterogeneous resources. The last module is the traffic aware refinement that tries to minimize the traffic overhead given a feasible placement. The feasible solution may save the partitions far from the sources or the shortest path of the flows because it doesn't consider the traffic overhead and just finds a feasible placement. A simple approach to minimize the traffic overhead, which we call overhead greedy algorithm, is to just pick the partition with maximum overhead and put it where it minimizes its overhead and maintains the feasibility of the placement. For example, here, partition P2 and P4 are far from the sources, and we can just migrate them to the sources S1 and S4 here. But in the steady state, there are many partitions in their sweet spot with minimum traffic overhead, and this algorithm cannot bring them out, so it falls in local minima in handling dynamics. For example, suppose that VM2 with large traffic moves from S1 to S4, and S4 can handle only one partition. This algorithm cannot bring out partition P4, so it just migrates partition P2 from S1 to Tor2. We propose benefit greedy algorithm that evaluates the benefit of a migration step based on both the traffic reduction and a popularity factor for a device. So this algorithm can avoid the local minima that overhead greedy algorithm has, and in this case, it can successfully bring partition P4 out of its server and replace it with P2. I refer you to the paper for the detail of this algorithm. Now, to handle dynamics such as rule changes and VM additions, we rerun the resource-aware placement algorithm if they make a feasible solution infeasible. But for frequent dynamics such as traffic changes and most of VM migrations that keep the solution feasible, we don't need to rerun resource-aware placement, and we just run the refinement algorithm. And this is one of the advantages of having a two-step approach. So to recap, VCRIP design addresses all five challenges, ranging from overlapping rules to the dynamics. For evaluation, we compared VCRIP versus source policement. Remember that source policement is the current practice that saves rules on the source of traffic. We also did some parameter sensitivity analysis and checked where the traffic overhead is added in the network. We also did some experiments for online scenarios and heterogeneous resources, and also for cases where we can only save rules on the switches. But in this presentation, I show the results only for the comparison of VCRIP and source placement and the effect of rules in partitions on VCRIP performance, and refer you to the paper for other experiments and diagrams. So in the simulation, we had 1,000 servers in a fat tree network, and we generated 200K rules using the classbench rule generator. We have two ways of IP assignment: random, that assigns IPs randomly to the VMs on servers, and range, that assigns a range of IP to the VMs on each server. Flow sizes follow a long-tail distribution based on previous measurement papers, and they follow a local traffic matrix by default. In a case that source policement needs 5K rules in maximum, VCRIP could successfully find a solution for servers with 4K capacity. In this diagram, the y-axis is the traffic overhead ratio of VCRIP comparing to the source policement, and the x-axis shows the capacity of the servers and switches. Let's look to the case that the capacity of the servers is 4K and we cannot save anything on the internal switches. The range IP assignment has very low overhead because in this case, similar partitions have traffic from the same source. So the compressed solution has minimum traffic too. The random IP assignment has a larger traffic overhead, but we should note that it is an adversarial case for VCRIP because the average load on the machines for source placement was 4.2K. This means that it needs more memory than the capacity of all the servers combined. This shows that VCRIP could successfully find the similar partitions and put them on the same device to find the feasible placement. Also, if we add more resources in the internal switches, VCRIP could successfully use those resources to minimize the traffic overhead. But source placement still is unable to use the resources in internal switches. More interesting question is, to what extent VCRIP extends the operating range of data centers? And we check that by comparing the effect of rules in partitions on VCRIP performance. If the dark blue disk here shows the total problem space, we know that source placement can only cover a small subset of the problems. The bound of this set is defined by the maximum load on the server. VCRIP covers more, but it's hard to define its bound. So we explore the effect of two important factors of the rules in partitions on VCRIP performance: average similarity of the partitions and average partition size. And we did that by transforming the rules in a rule set. Note that the similarity cannot be more than the average partition size. Here, the highlighted area shows where VCRIP could find a feasible solution. It's more likely for VCRIP to find a feasible solution for smaller partitions or larger partitions that are more similar. We can also restrict the area to the cases that VCRIP solution has less than 10% traffic overhead. For example, here, the point A is feasible, but its traffic overhead is larger than 10%. But the conclusion is the same. VCRIP has lower traffic overhead for smaller and more similar partitions. So, in conclusion, VCRIP allows operators to specify rules and manage their placement in a way that respects resource constraints and minimizes the traffic overhead. And for future work, we want to add the controller in the decision loop to let VCRIP decide which rules should be handled reactively at the controller and which rules should be handled proactively in the network. We also want to check the effect of breaking a large per-source partition and also test our system for other load sets. Thank you.
People can hear you.
I see. I talk loud, so maybe people wouldn't have a problem. So I have a question. So suppose I'm an operator, and one of the constraints that I want to place on the rule optimization process is that I want to limit the amount of rule changes that happen at any one time, just because I'm concerned that, if I change things too drastically, that's going to cause some problems. Is there a way to incorporate that easily into the optimization framework that you described?
I see. So in that case, you need to limit the refinement algorithm and set a budget for that. And I think it can be a good future work that, for example, if we find a good motivation for that limit, we can set that in the optimization algorithm.
But you would expect that, this thing can find a feasible placement with unconstrained, but if I put some constraints on it, it would probably still be able to find feasible solutions, or do you think that would be
more difficult.
I see. So you're talking about finding a feasible placement, not defining for minimizing the traffic overhead.
Yeah, that's right. That's
okay.
Right. Yeah.
So finding a feasible placement. Okay, so when we find a feasible placement, actually, we do not consider the previous placement because they can be migrated arbitrarily to minimize the traffic overhead. So now this algorithm doesn't consider that. And maybe we have as kind of similar algorithms in VM placement that, for example, they don't want to migrate VMs so often. So yeah, maybe we can find similar algorithms here.
Another question.
What is driving the explosion in the number of rules? Like, why is this such a big scalability challenge? Like, I don't have a good intuition for what's causing, you know, like hundreds of thousands of rules and things like that. Can you say a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. So I think that's because of the different policies we have now and the scale of the data center. That, for example, we want to control the communication of between a pair of VMs. And I see that every year there are some proposals that use these rules to create a new service in the data center, for example, rate limiting or traffic engineering. So when we use software-defined networking, we also need to consider that what happens if the number of rules will be huge and we don't have enough resources.
So you expect rules for, like, say, every pair of VMs or something? That's not...
No. Every pair of communicating VMs.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's thank the speaker again. Thank you.